You should leave that in.
We're leaving that in. Okay. Okay, let's silence down and let's pretend that never happened. And oh, you didn't. Why? You don't look at what it is.
I'm not looking. It means the volume's down.
And I know I'm trying to fade in. Stop nodding our heads. That's the wrong song.
Come on.
There you are. And welcome to Watch This. I'm your host, Paul Klein. Sitting next to me on my left is our host,
Alex Bello.
And sitting across from me is our host,
Italian Explosion.
The Italian Explosion. What else did we have for you? We're going to call you Floyd.
Floyd.
Because of your pink hair. I have this song playing for a reason. It's connected, sort of, in my own weird way. Did you see who
it was? I can't tell what it is.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. You guys have an opportunity to win $10.
Oh, really?
Yeah, tell me who this is. $5, you tell me who this is.
Man, I got nothing. And it's probably some really obscure 80s band.
Not that obscure.
I just don't know. I got nothing. I give up.
Stephanie?
Is it Body Talk?
I have no...
Okay. So this is Rat, R-A-T-T.
I would never guess.
Who were famous. They had a very big song called Round and Round. Round and Round.
No, my 80s music knowledge is very limited.
Unbelievable. Why did I choose this song to open up this episode of Toxic Avenger?
Is this your favorite song from the 80s? Or was it in the movie?
It was not, but there was something like it in the movie.
Yeah, was it like the opening song for the gym?
The opening song that plays for a fucking 10 minutes in the movie.
Oh, when they're working out?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
It's called, fades out.
And it never, I mean, the scenes change, but the music keeps playing. Yeah. It's called Body Talk.
Nice.
So I just started singing Rat's Body Talk. So in honor of Toxic Avenger, I played Rat's Body Talk. You guys do not win $10. I'm sorry.
Was there ever $10? Was there actually ever $10?
Who knows? Who knows? I want to say I would be honest and actually, I probably would have bought you guys a Starbucks coffee or something, but.
That's pretty much $10.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So sadly, that's not going to happen. We are here today to talk about, as you may have guessed, the Toxic Avenger.
Hell yeah.
Let's tell the audience how we came upon watching this movie.
Who wants to do this one?
Alex, you go ahead and take this one.
Okay, so we were trying to figure out what to do for our podcast, but we need to find a movie that's free on streaming that we can all watch. And there's nothing like out that we've all seen. So let's each pick two movies and put them in a hat. We didn't have a hat, unfortunately. So we put it in a glass bowl.
We have a nice crystal bowl.
Yeah, and then we'll have someone pick it out and we'll do that movie. And so Paul over here decided.
So my movie was, we had two movies each. I had the Street Fighter, not Street Fighter, the Street Fighter with the definitive article, which if you enjoyed Toxic Avenger, you'll enjoy the Street Fighter. So that one I'd seen. And then I also picked Toxic Avenger because I had meaning to watch it. So we put it in the crystal bowl and we had Daniela pick out the name. And she said to my happiness and everybody else's groans, she said, the Toxic Avenger. And I started whooping and cheering and dancing around the lab. And then these two were like, oh, God, why? Actually, you know what? Can you guys just keep talking? Because I did plan, I forgot to mention it. At the end of this episode, we are going to grab from the bowl the next movie.
Oh, nice.
I think that's a good way to end the episode.
Are you going to go grab the bowl?
I'm going to grab it now.
Okay.
And I'm going to keep talking as you guys, but keep, you know, entertain the audience while I step away.
Yeah, man. So we. Come on. What two movies did you do?
I chose Midsommar.
Yeah.
And.
Oh, that was fast.
Oh.
It was right here. Oh, I thought it was like all the way out there.
I don't remember the other movie I chose.
Oh, Companion.
Oh, yeah.
And then
Midsommar.
And then I did True Stories, the David Byrne. From Talking Heads, his movie, and Dragged Across Concrete. So stay tuned because we might.
Oh no, we are.
We're gonna pick one of those.
Yeah.
At the end of the day today. So
the way I see it, we're gonna have sort of mini arcs and things like that. So we will sort of once there's things that we really want to watch, we'll talk about that. Jenny came by yesterday and she wants us to watch 3 o'clock High, which is an 80s movie that she loved. And she wants to be a guest, so the fact that we have someone who wants to be a guest, we will watch her movie also.
Nice.
She then talked shit about The Evil Dead, and which made me angry, so I think we are at some point going to make her watch the full trilogy, meaning we all have to watch it also.
I don't think I've ever seen that one.
Oh, you're missing
it. Is that like a horror movie?
Could you leave, please.
Yeah, if you guys, I can't have this. If you join Jenny in talking shit about the Evil Dead, we're gonna dump you in the vat of radioactive fluid from Toxic Avenger.
Listen, it's all for the good.
Yeah,
because Melvin is the most obnoxious piece of shit.
He doesn't do anything.
He's awful. He's awful.
He's fun.
I mean, first of all, you know what? I'm gonna be controversial here for a second because this movie is so tasteless. Partially because it was made in the 80s and they're like, fuck it, we can say what we want to. But also partially because they were trying to be tasteless. I'm going to say a word that we're not supposed to say anymore, but this movie would definitely say. But is Melvin retarded? Oh
my gosh. They say it in the movie, actually. Yeah, they call him that.
I have to wholeheartedly agree. I don't know if you guys noticed, because throughout the years, as I've kind of heard about Toxic Avenger and talked to people about it and like read about it on message boards, it is a running gag that they're like, Melvin is like the worst alter ego. You know, like how it's like people are like, no, I like Clark Kent. I like Peter Parker. I like Steve Rogers. You know, Steve Rogers doesn't change mentally from when he turns into Captain America. It just reinforces his positive aspects. Whereas Melvin doesn't have any positive aspects. He's horrible.
Well, okay.
Speaking of like how he changes, the voice change that
I laughed. I didn't know that was going to happen.
Yeah.
And like, especially because you hear him like grunting like, and breathing. Yeah. But then suddenly this beautiful deep voice comes out. Yes, madam.
No, they gave him, sorry, the sexiest voice.
It was a great voice. I agree.
Yeah.
Just like to the damsel in distress, like, sorry, ma'am, let me help you home. I was like, oh my God, the chemicals really did a number on his vocal cord.
I'm telling
there.
You.
But it's funny because it's like you said, that's his voice, but he also just constantly, he sounds like he should sound like a monster, yes. But he sounds so clear. But then every other minute, he's like, it's so gross.
And, you know, I'm going to be bringing these things up to kind of maybe in defense of Toxic Avenger because it is clearly very silly, very offensive on purpose.
Ridiculous.
Low-budget, sleazy movie. But I do want to argue, or I want to question, I want to see, as we kind of go through this, my goal is, do we find something that actually was done well on purpose?
Okay.
Was there some thought to this? Or did they, by making certain choices without even thinking about it, did they make some really good choices? And we'll discuss that and sort of see if that's the fact or not. Let's start at the beginning. So this is a Troma film. For our listeners who don't know, Troma is basically a production company that sort of built its reputation on movies like Toxic Avenger, low budget, sleazy, poor taste, and sort of became, you know, a name recognition. You hear Troma, you're like, oh, it's like hearing Hammer Horror. You know, it's like hearing... Later on, one of the things I got into in the 90s were the Full Moon movies.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that. Like they have same directors, same people kind of work on these things, same actors show up. So Toxic Avenger is one of their most successful movies that they've made. I mean, they made 3 sequels afterwards. And now we're looking.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. There's 2, 3, and I think there's a 4.
Nice.
Oh, I saw those on Tubi and I was like, there's a trilogy.
Yeah. Maybe there's just 3. I thought there was a 4th one, but I'm not 100% sure now. I think if one of them is like the...
Probably
the Last Temptation of Toxie.
Oh,
is
that's
one of
so
them.
Good.
And I think the last one's called Citizen Toxie. So there you go to the Citizen Kane route.
Wait, I'm so sorry, guys. This is completely off topic, but I just got a text message from my cousin that says, I got you a bunny costume to wear on Easter.
What the fuck?
I said as a joke, oh, you guys aren't going to have an Easter bunny? Like, you should get a little bunny or get some, like, hire someone to dress up as a bunny. So
that's
I just got
punishment.
That as a text.
That's your punishment.
Anyway, let's get back to the podcast.
Yeah, I will also say the cartoon Toxic Crusaders.
Yes.
Oh, hell yeah.
And that is the last thing that came from this was Toxic Crusaders.
It's a thing.
I was going to wait to talk about that one, but there was, we can do it now.
You guys want to see what that looks like?
Yeah, I want to play the theme song. Melvin's more appealing as a cartoon. The 80s were a weird time where they would make cartoons out of completely inappropriate things for children.
What a good time.
One that I do understand was RoboCop. Because even though RoboCop is an unbelievably violent movie and should not be seen by children, I remember in 1987 when I saw the trailer for it and I was 10. And I remember seeing that and going, I want to see that, but I know I cannot. and I was like, because I knew it looked really violent and gory. And I was like, but that guy, first of all, it's just RoboCop. That appeals to a 10-year-old boy.
Yeah.
I should say 10-year-old child. I think that could appeal. I think 10-year-old Stephanie would have been like, RoboCop. All right, we'll try it. Maybe not. So
probably not.
10-year-old Stephanie was already into like murder and violence,
which is RoboCop.
Yeah.
10-year-old me was like Strawberry Shortcake or Morticia. Yeah.
Okay.
There was.
Can you put them together?
Strawberry Morticia.
Morticia Shortcake.
I hope so.
I'm breathing a lot.
I would love that.
Excuse me.
Yeah, that's
put
okay.
it down a little bit. So RoboCop had a cartoon, which makes some sense. But the one that I cannot accept, having been turned into a cartoon, was Rambo. They turned Rambo into a cartoon. There's nothing. Even though the violence is cartoonish, there's nothing that should be for children.
Was he still in like fighting overseas in the cartoon, or is he back stateside? Because I can't imagine what they made the.
I never watched it.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know actually. I just know about it, and even as a kid, I was like, nah.
Yeah.
It's not Transformers. I'll go as far as G.I. Joe, but not Rambo. So Toxic Avenger is not necessarily the most egregious turning of a violent franchise into a cartoon. But having said that, despite the gore, and the movie even starts with a sort of like, I think it was a tongue-in-cheek title card saying like, caution, this movie features extreme gore. Mm-hmm. I think that was more sort of like a marketing ploy than anything. But despite all the gore and inappropriate things for children, it is very much a children's movie. Because it's very simple. It's very silly. The way people are overacting is like, that's kind of stuff that they would do like in a kid's movie. Like, hey, you guys over here. Like, it's the kind of humor that really a child would appreciate. You know, like the child in me appreciated the stupid humor in this movie.
Yeah.
And even the language that they use, you know, like the foul language that they use, it's very much to appeal to giggly children. You know, like, what's the guy like at the end? He was like, oh, there's mosquitoes biting my asshole. You know, like just.
The cop. And then like even the villain names Bozo and Slug.
Right. Yeah. I mean, completely ridiculous.
Also, I know a guy that I went to high school with that looks just like Bozo, and I couldn't stop thinking about it the whole time. I'm going to text him and be like, man, you got to watch
it. Were you in Toxic Avenger? Did you read the trivia on Toxic Avenger, like IMDb?
No, I haven't read it.
Apparently, Vincent D'Onofrio was supposed to play Bozo.
Really?
Yeah, and then he asked for a slight raise, and rather than even talk to him, they fired him and got this guy to come in and play Bozo.
He does a great job.
He's the perfect person because he does look like a psychopath.
He does look like a Bozo.
He's got like the eyes, like the twitchy, throbby eyes of a psychopath.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was another thing. So we're watching the opening credits, or I'm watching the opening credits, and the first thing I noticed was, and here's where I'm unprepared because I didn't write down her full name, but the special effects makeup was credited to a woman.
Nice.
It was Jennifer something. I didn't catch the last name. I will edit it seamlessly into this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer Aspinall.
I thought that was cool.
Yeah,
I was like, all right, this is different. I don't think we know about Tom Savini. Do we know about Tom Savini?
I've heard the name. I don't know who he is, though.
He is a very famous makeup artist for horror films. And so especially for like the Dead movies, Dawn of the Dead. He did the special effects for Friday the 13th.
Nice.
And he's, again, like, he's credited, you know, in the opening credits also, because these movies that have, like, a lot of gore, you know, that are not, in these days, were not made digitally, they have to make this stuff practically. And so it's sort of like they do so much work and are so much in charge of how the movie looks and sort of plays out because of the gore that they get their own credits on there, so which is kind of cool. And so I dug that we had... we had a woman doing the, I thought, really cool gore effects for the movie, especially considering the low budget nature of the movie.
Yeah, no, the gore effects were insane. I don't know if I read this. I think I read it on Letterboxd in someone's review. I think they only had like $300 or something worth of like.
Really?
That might be wrong. I don't know where I read that. I don't know where if I'm getting like my wires crossed or something else.
This is not a big budget movie. Sorry, Stephanie, go ahead.
No, I could tell when they ran out of money for it by the end of the movie.
Uh-huh.
Because they showed these like horrific, like overly gory, intensely detailed murders for everybody else except the main characters.
The mayor?
No, not the mayor, but then also, like, what was her name, Julia?
Julia.
Yeah. They didn't even show Julia get murdered. They just implied that she did.
I'm glad you brought it up because
Wait, was that hot ass? Was that when he put the lady on the rocks?
That was the other girl. The other one. I forgot her name.
that was so good.
Yeah.
Let this be a message to you, hot ass.
That was a little disappointing was that when he, because again, and when I was talking about how this is for children, you know, like they really set up just how vile the bad guys are, yeah. right? Like, I mean, you are disgusted by these people. I mean, we should probably set it up. The four main bad guys, the ones who are guilty of Toxie turning into the Toxic Avenger, are these unbelievably awful sociopaths.
Dude, they're insane. They're so fucked up.
I mean, they drive around and do hit and runs, and they get points for it.
Yeah.
And not only that, but Julia, I'm not sure. I mean, she says some very, very awful
oh, yeah.
racial yeah. slurs saying, you oh know, how many gosh. Points you get for who you run over.
Yeah. Every single one.
Yes.
They even threw one in there that I was like, hey, I haven't heard that one in forever.
And yet when it comes to their comeuppance, Bozo has a good one, and we'll kind of get to that because it's a very lengthy. But most, I think the other guy, I don't even remember what happened to him. I have to think about
Slug?
It sometimes.
He just Slug. Got thrown out of the car, but it never showed him.
Oh, like, oh yeah. Yeah. He just grabs them while they're driving.
That's right. He's part of the car chase. Yeah. And then the two women, I mean, Hot Ass was funny, but we don't know what happens after that. Not that I was necessarily like, it's weird, as vile as these people are, like, I didn't necessarily want to see the women getting torn apart.
Oh, I was hoping they just got murdered.
No. I wanted them Julia, to get their commitment. Yes. Yeah. Well, I wanted them to get their comeuppance, but at the same time, like, it's not the same as when you watch the dudes being just, like, completely torn apart.
Yeah.
But I was disappointed in the fact that, yeah, he there's a lengthy chase scene where he's chasing Julia. And then he kind of pulls out a pair of scissors, and you feel like there's going to be a payoff somewhere later in the movie where they'll find her body, who knows what happened to it. Mm-hmm. But there's no payoff. Or was there something cut out? Did I not? You guys didn't see anything either.
No, I don't remember seeing anything. Also, the scissors were just so random to me. I thought there should have been a correlation there, but there really wasn't. He just kind of had a pair of scissors with him.
Like bringing a Polaroid camera or something. Let's use that actually as a segue to how tasteless this movie is. So when the first person we see them run over,
the little kid,
is a 12-year-old kid.
Oh my God.
And they even, you know they're pushing your buttons on purpose because like, they show him leaving the house and his mom's like, be careful. Yeah.
Put on your helmet.
Put on your helmet.
Which did not do anything.
Dude, and not only did they run him over once, but then they back over him.
They run him over and he's like, you can't laugh, right? Because he's like, you know, he's crawling along the street and they're like, we didn't kill him. And they turn the car around or they back up and like graphically show them driving over his head, which explodes. Mm-hmm. Apparently, one of the co-directors, Lloyd Kaufman, who is one of the main guys behind the trauma films, had an experience where he hit his sister with a car. She was fine, or he almost hit her with a car. And it sort of stuck with him. And so he was sort of exercising his demons by putting this in the movie.
Okay.
But very disturbing, I think, that like a movie like this, you're like, you know, they run over a child. And what's worse, they have jaunty 80s music playing in the background the whole scene. And you're like, what? What is this?
And then to make it even worse, the two girls get out of the car and take Polaroids of him, like several Polaroids and, of
Alex,
his crush.
Do you want to tell us what they do with those Polaroids?
I don't want to say it because I don't want to say it, but
I will say it. Yeah. Julia masturbates to the Polaroid pictures later in the film.
I didn't want to be the one to say it, but yeah.
Well, I have no problem. But now I can't make eye contact. I'm turning red. It's weird.
Yeah. Yeah, don't make eye contact with anyone in the room right now.
Yeah, I'm just going to look down at the board.
Yeah.
Hey. I will ask, did anybody else get nauseous to this movie?
No,
but I'm glad you did. And like, because I can understand why you would.
Because I got super nauseous at one point during
at what point though?
Okay, so the child scene, I was like, okay, that's that's not making me feel great.
It goes against the rules of cinema, right? Like you don't kill kids and dogs.
Yeah.
And what is the
oh my gosh, the dog against, really?
They went against every rule of cinema.
Oh my
it
gosh.
Was that one, it was the dog, and then it was the scene with the blind chick.
Oh, I mean, everything with the blind girl is just it's horribly so offensive.
I think it was those three that really got me nauseous because I wasn't expecting it. Because like you think, like, oh, they can't do that. Because then they're...
Boy, are you wrong.
Because then they're irredeemable.
Can I just go off on a small tangent here? Because this is very important to me as well as watching the movie was when they have the cop with the terrible Irish accent.
Oh, O'Connelly.
O'Connelly, of course. His name's O'Connelly. when they're like... torturing him and beating him up, there's a part where they're about to shoot him in the crotch. And there's a part of me, because the movie has so far gone past all good taste, there was a sense of like anything can happen in this movie. And I actually felt nervous for him where I was like, they could. Like I figured Toxie will show up and save the day. but will it be after they shoot him in the crotch or not? And so, again, like, that's kind of one of the things that I liked about the movie, was that because it goes past the bounds of good taste, that there is this feeling of, like, anything can happen.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I thought that when and this is another sidebar, but I thought when they broke into the restaurant, that those guys were like, gosh. And he like took the blind girl. I thought they were actually going to show that.
Me too. That's my heart was racing during that scene. I was like, there's no way.
No way. Also, that guy has to be a direct inspiration for Jules in Pulp Fiction later on.
Oh, I kept thinking
like the way he was talking and his style and his swagger.
He had the Jerry curl.
Yeah. And just like the way he was talking, I literally thought,
oh,
it was,
that's a good, and I mean, well, I would only say no because Tarantino, like, loathes the 80s movies.
I know, but I feel like this would be up his alley. I don't know.
Yeah, it definitely should be up his alley.
Yeah.
Did you know that that guy actually was armless, the man whose arm he really? Not armless. He is missing one arm.
Oh.
So I didn't notice this. I only read it in a trivia, but apparently if you watch the scenes again, you can tell that he has a fake arm and he's not moving it for all the scenes.
Really?
So when he rips it off, it doesn't seem like there's like an extra, you know, like it's not like he's hiding an arm because he didn't have one.
I was wondering how they would have done that if he did have the arm, but I just kind of, maybe he has it in his shirt.
Yeah. And sorry, we were going down the road of when did you get sick?
I think I got nauseous a couple times during the movie. I think the part where I was the most nauseous was the scene in the restaurant, because I was like,
that's a tough scene.
I was like almost waiting for it to happen, and I had my finger on the skip button because I was like, if it does show it, I don't want to watch that. Yeah. So I was like, my heart was like racing. I was like, I'm going to throw up if they show something right now.
But I think that is the appeal of films like this, like movies that are made for, like the shock genre, that are made for, what am I thinking, the low rent theaters.
Oh, like the Grindhouse?
The Grindhouse. Yeah, Grindhouse. I think this definitely fits into the Grindhouse mold.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, they definitely would have shown that. It's not getting a regular theater release, I don't think.
No, no. You know, I actually ended up in a Grindhouse theater once.
Oh, really?
With my family.
Oh, yeah. No.
Because they all wanted to see Gremlins, and this is 1984, and I wanted to see Gremlins, and then someone was like, oh my gosh, all this horrible stuff happens, and was like saying like how gory, you know, how violent it is, and you know, these are kids talking to each other. And I suddenly was like, I don't want to see Gremlins. And then by the time they were like, no, we're going to go see Gremlins. You can handle it. It was out of the main theaters, and it was only showing at what basically would be a Grindhouse theater.
Yeah.
And I had never been in a place like that before. It was actually pretty cool because it was more like a neighborhood Grindhouse theater.
Okay.
And so what I like was like when we went in there, they would be projecting slides of like parties that they had in there.
Oh, nice.
And things like that. So it was kind of different. But like, because it's a Grindhouse theater, people were allowed to smoke in there.
Mm.
And I remember coming out of that movie, we all smelled like cigarettes.
Oh, gross.
From just sitting. Yeah. And so, and they had like a bar in the corner, like a little window that was open. You can get beer and everything. Mm. And so that was my experience being in a Grindhouse theater.
Nice.
Is where Toxic Avenger would have been shown for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Do you have any other notes? Because I wanted to bring something up.
Bring it up.
I love how much they committed to his look when so there's the whole thing with the chick where she's like, oh, you know, I need help with something. And she gets him to get into the pink like outfit. And then after he gets burned, it's still attached to like his skin. Yeah. And like, he just has like the burnt tutu just around his waist the entire movie. I was thinking for whatever reason that he was going to get a badass like superhero suit.
Oh no.
But I'm so glad that he did it. I'm glad that he's just in the tattered like clothes.
Pink tutu.
I questioned it so much. It was like bothering me during the movie. I'm like, okay, so maybe it's like, you know, chemically attached to his skin. He can't take it off. But why wouldn't you cut the tutu off?
No, yeah. No.
Like, why would you commit?
Does he need
to that look?
I agree with Alex.
It's a suit, man. That's his suit. That's his suit.
I realized they made him so attractive, like, personality-wise, that it does not matter anymore.
Right.
Like, they made his voice all, like, sultry. They made him, like, super tall, super buff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, they tried so hard to make him appeal to women in every other category except for the tutu and his face.
And his face.
Yeah. That was it.
And again, like, it's such a traditional, like, comic thing to do when somebody is the disfigured hero, that who is his girlfriend or like, you know,
the blind girl.
Be a blind girl.
The one blind girl.
There was on IMDb, they list goofs, and they're usually stupid, the goofs. Mm. And I don't know if this guy was being he is, but the way it was kind of deadpan written, because he was talking about it was a goof, because when he's putting on different hats and, like, you know, they have like a montage where he's dressing different ways and showing their relationship evolving.
Yeah.
Like, he puts on a top hat and she starts laughing right away. And the guy writes, he puts on a top hat, she starts laughing. She's blind.
There was a bunch of scenes like that where he was like, oh, do I look inconspicuous enough?
Oh, yeah, but he's in a trench coat.
I'm like, she's blind.
Go ahead.
And the one scene, I'm so sorry, I hate to bring up the dog again, but the one scene where she's like, oh, I need my dog, like, I'll never get anywhere without my dog, and they just smash cut to the dog and he's dead and, like, in guts and, like,
in guts,
still breathing.
Still breathing.
It looked like they threw, like, cooked, like, like, just,
it was spaghetti. It was spaghetti spray painted gray.
Oh, no. Yeah.
It looked like it was, like, pork that they that they just tossed onto him while he was laying down with his eyes fully open.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, still breathing.
And his, like, just, tail, you can't was, take, like, it seriously. Around.
Yeah. Listen, I mean, I'm the kind of person that the moment they do something to an animal in a movie, like, I turn it off. Right. Yeah. And, like, when I saw her dog there and I know what this movie is, I was like, it's going to happen. And I was like, I don't know if I'm ready for this. Right. Yeah. When they shot the dog, and it's not funny, right? But, like, they did. And I read in the behind the scenes that the dog was trained to move fast, like crawling across the ground. Mm-hmm. So they filmed that, and they fast forward it, and they played it backwards. So he just kind of flies across the room.
Just
and,
hits the
like,
wall.
Against my better nature, I laugh because it's so ridiculous. And again, you can't, like, take the movie that seriously. That there was, I did have a moment where I was like, I'm going to turn this off. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I was laughing, and I was like, fine, you know, I'm gonna leave this going. And yeah. So credit to them for, again, just being so tasteless but keeping me watching and keeping me entertained. That whole scene in the restaurant, I also want to mention, like, I put in my notes, I just saw it now, like when they first did, like, the establishing shots, they show a Mexican sombrero because they're in a Mexican restaurant.
Oh, yeah. And then samurai
swords. And I'm like, why the fuck would there be samurai swords in a Mexican restaurant? Oh, because during the fight scene, the guy has to take one and fight him with.
No, and the best part is that the Mexican restaurant is just called The Mexican Place.
Which I believe is real.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious.
In that scene also, I didn't feel bad for the dog because I knew the dog was just, like, they put some meat on him and they probably ate it after and he was happy. I felt sorry for the guy with the sundae. The guy that he makes the ice cream sundae out of his face.
I felt bad for the actor.
That's what I mean. Yeah. I felt bad for the actor because that poor guy got ice cream, whipped cream. That must have been when you got sick.
I just thought he was gonna drown him in it. I was like, okay, he's gonna he's waterboarding him with milk.
Right.
This is hilarious.
Yeah.
And then he got the milkshake.
The shake spinner.
Thing, I saw it and I was like, no.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, that's not what's happening here.
No, I felt like as soon as he started with the milk and the thing was there, I remember earlier in the movie, like when they first established the restaurant, he's like saying that the thing isn't working or he's like trying to use one of the workers.
Right. Yeah.
One of the workers, like the opening shot of the restaurant is one of the workers doing the thing. And I'm like, oh, somebody's going to get killed with that, man.
And
I just, and then it happens.
Then it happens. The worker who reaches down into his pants all the way to pull out
a bottle. Did we need that shot?
Did we need that? That must have been a director.
I was so confused about a part of the killings where at the end of the killings, he would put a mop on each of their faces.
Yeah.
But when the police found them, the mops weren't there. Like, they never mentioned, like, oh, the mop killer, he put a mop on their face.
Oh,
they mentioned at one point.
One of the mayors or something, like, when they're talking to the mayor, he's like, oh, they said he left a mop on each body. And he's like, oh, it must be a political message or something.
Right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't catch that. Yeah. I just know that, like, when they were showing the bodies found, they never showed the mops. I was like, was he just, like, cleaning up after himself?
I don't know, because that scene was never clear. Like, I don't know if he was shoving the mops in their mouth, which he wasn't, but I don't know if that's what it was supposed to be. Or he was just kind of stupidly doing, like, a Melvin thing and just kind of poorly mopping them because he was a terrible mopper.
I thought it was going to be, like, this, like, intellectual message, because what Bozo said, I don't know, what Bozo had told him was, the next time I see you, I'm going to shove this mop down your throat.
Oh.
So that's what I thought he was doing. I thought he was like, oh, I'm going to shove the mop down their throat, but he didn't. He was kind of just like,
it was weird.
Threw it on their faces.
It seems to me like they probably wanted him to put it down his throat, but they couldn't film it.
Yeah.
And so they just kind of had him just kind of do it like,
he just kind of lays it on top of them.
Yeah. It never worked as well as it should have.
It was so funny every time.
It was just so silly.
He finished doing this like brutal murder and then he's like, oh, forgot my mop.
Yeah. And then shoves the mop on them. Anything else? Look at my notes.
I want to make a callback to some other goofs. There was one goof in particular that it just like made me laugh so much. At first, I thought it was so gross, but then I realized, okay, so when he's fighting Cigar Face and his goons, Nipple and what's the other guy? Someone else. When he's fighting them, when he first grabs the two goons, he picks them up by their head and he rips off their scalps and they kind of fall off. But then when they start fighting again, the one guy whose scalp got ripped off still has a full head of hair.
Of course.
I was just like, I know you can't afford to give him a scalped head, but it was just so funny because they purposely put in the scalping, but then he has the full head of hair. Yeah.
That was the funniest fight. They were like so dead, but they kept fighting.
They kept coming back.
And like I was like, your eyeballs just got gouged out. How are you still like going after this guy?
And then Cigar Face comes back later on in the movie for one of the coolest things.
I love that. Oh, yeah. I love that.
They surround him.
Yeah, and then he jumps out of the way and they all shoot each other.
And then he gives him the finger.
Oh yeah, he gives him the finger is the best part.
After they're all dead. So good.
So my notes kind of ended with my last note that we haven't spoken about was just overall. And I kind of, again, when we're talking about is this movie good or bad, does it have anything to offer? Considering, as we said, it's very low budget, right? Yeah. I mean, some of the stunt work is fantastic.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
I mean, the car chase with Bozo. I mean, you have Toxie on the top of a car, like driving through the streets. You have them like running into people on ladders who, you know what I mean? The car is driving through garbage and doing all kinds of flips. The explosions are good. It's that perfect thing where it's bad, purposefully on bad, but there is just like still entertainment value.
Yeah.
There's still production value in a weird way, in like a schlocky, cheap way. Yeah. There's still production value.
I think we've talked about this before, but it's like when you're really trying to do not a shitty movie, but like a purposefully bad thing, you have to do it well. Like you have to be good at doing it bad, or if not, you can tell. Like, it just doesn't work the same. So you know these guys know exactly what they're doing, and they know how to execute. Because it's not easy to execute certain things if you don't know how. Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And, like, what you were saying about the stunt work, it's funny because this is the 80s, so you have to have, like, kung fu or karate and everything. And everybody knows kung fu or karate. Like, every time he fights a goon, they're throwing these crazy high round kicks and, like, just and, like, super good ones. Yeah. The guy with the for one of the goons, he had, like, the lipstick and wig.
He reapplied his lipstick every time he got hit.
Yeah.
The horrible stereotype of a trans person, you know what I mean?
The horrible stereotype of everything.
Of everybody. I mean, the two gay guys who are like, oh my gosh, so
and
awful.
They were like, you know he likes blondes, right?
Nobody was safe.
Yeah. But even also things like when he, that was just me moving in the chair.
Oh, okay. I didn't fart.
I
didn't think it was a fart. I thought like somebody was knocking at
the door. No, that was just my big ass moving on the rubber chair. We should have a microphone down at the chair.
The ass mic. Ew.
But again, like going with the production value, they have a guy running on fire down the street with like hundreds of extras like standing and watching them film, you know? Apparently they said, I didn't notice it, but when the cop touches him and his hands catch fire, as he has an obvious, the
gloves?
No, I think it's gel. Or in this case, it may have been gloves too, or like both, you know? They said you can actually see that like the fire drops and it lands on like Melvin's shoulder.
Oh, really?
And he's like, whoa, and then they cut. So they weren't the safest when they did these things. And even though the finale was a little disappointing, as you said, like he just kind of pulls his guts out and it's just sort of, you know, it's not the, considering everything that has come before in the movie, the finale is slightly disappointing as far as gore.
I mean, I wasn't too upset about
it
because I thought he was going to go the pacifist route, actually. I thought it was going to be like, oh, I'm not going to kill anymore.
Right.
And then he did. So I was more happy that he just killed him in general.
And then nobody cared.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, really, that was a very unheroic thing to do. But again, like, they're so awful that you're just glad when he did it. But what I was going to sort of focus on was the fact they got fucking tanks.
Yeah.
And military and two tanks.
Yeah, two tanks.
They don't fire guns or anything, but still, I mean, you have this military driving through, people in costume, fake guns, or maybe real guns in this case.
Who knows?
I don't know how they did it, but again, you're not expecting that on a movie. You know, like, it seems like the whole movie's going to probably take place in the gym.
Yeah.
And then it's like, no, you're kind of surprised how big it actually goes for what it is.
I thought the same thing, because not only was it tanks, but they had two trucks, and then they had like one of those all-terrain vehicles that they use for the military. I was like, what the hell? Where did they find this? I have to assume it was. Also, I want to disregard my statement earlier about the $300. I don't know where I read that. I think it was like somebody talking shit in a Letterboxd comment.
But no matter what, I mean, this is not an expensive movie.
Yeah, I think they had like $1 million.
I mean, in 1984 money, that would be a lot, actually. Yeah.
So. I don't know. I searched it up earlier while we were talking, so I wouldn't.
Actually, speaking of the gym, that was one of the funniest scenes for me, was the beginning. Not the funniest, but it was pretty funny, the opening scene, because I was watching it, and I was like, this is what a 13-year-old boy thinks a gym is?
Yeah.
Like, nothing about this was realistic.
All the girls are in bikinis for some reason.
Yeah.
Working out in bikinis.
Why? Why are they all wearing bikinis? Some girl was, like, jump roping next to, like, somebody that was, like, working out.
Yeah.
Next to somebody that was, like, having sex. Like,
and to be fair, the dudes were in Speedos, too.
Yeah.
Like, which is, like, why? Why would you be working out in Speedos?
I mean, even in, and this is a little bit of a sidebar, but when they're at the end, that they're at the farm in the tent, and the blind girl's in a bikini for no reason. There's no beach nearby. You're in a field in the middle of nowhere, and you're in a bikini. But anyway, yeah, back to the gym.
Yeah, this movie does not pass the Bechdel test. You know what I mean? But it seems, as you were saying, like, nobody's safe. It doesn't seem to be like white males are okay. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, no, everybody.
It goes for everybody.
No, everybody's like a sociopath or something.
But they do a good thing. Again, like, they do things right. They all live in Tromaville, which makes me laugh. So I love the fact that Troma Films takes place in Tromaville. And when the government starts going after him, for no reason, apparently a Nazi cop.
Oh, yeah.
With a terrible German accent.
And they were, like, slowly hinting at it, and then eventually he just goes full Nazi.
He just does the salute at one point.
Multiple times.
Yeah. He starts clicking his heels, and it's just completely ridiculous. Where was I?
You're saying the military was chasing him.
Military was chasing him. It really sucks being old, because I just, you know, the other day I was doing the presentation for Schroeder's class, and I was talking about Pauline Kael, and I said something about, like, she was an amazing writer and an amazing critic, but sometimes she went too far. And a student puts in the comments, she's like, "What do you mean? What do you mean went too far?" And I'm talking, I look at it, and I go, "When did I say that?" And I'm going through it, like, and I went that must have been like 20 minutes ago. And then I kind of realized, oh, it's right then when I was just talking about that. I just forget what I said. So the military is chasing him.
Oh, I want to highlight my favorite kill, and it's just because, like, not that it's personal to me, but, like, I just now I can only imagine that when he first shows up to the Tromaville fitness center.
Yep.
And there's the one guy that's selling everybody drugs.
Yep. That's my favorite.
And he's
kill
doing
too.
The hamstring curls in the machine. And then he takes him, flips him upside down, slides him up the machine, and then pulls up the weight stack and drops it in the middle of his face. And it's, like, so crazy, because I've seen that weight stack before, and I'm always like, dude, imagine getting your hand.
You've always thought about that, haven't you?
I've always thought about it, and then I finally got to see it, and it was just, like, right. Oh, it was
so good. It's such a satisfying, because it kind of plays into these things that we think about. You're like, oh, imagine if. And I was like, how are they going to do it? And it wasn't done badly.
No, it was so good.
Like, you could see his, like, skull split in half, and, like, even, like, the aftermath of it.
Yeah.
Like, I was cringing the whole time.
It was great. When I saw that, I was like, please do it. Please do it. And I was like, yes.
And then he just lays a mop on top of his face.
I was like, I had, like, one eye closed during that scene. Oh. I was like,
I think we should tell the audience that I had Stephanie watch the movie here at work today, which must have been the most awkward thing.
I kept, like, peeking out the window. I was like, I can't imagine somebody seeing
what,
like,
you're watching.
Like, what I want. They're gonna, or, like, I had to turn it, like, way down.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the noises from this movie, I was like, someone's gonna think I'm doing something awful.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
Even if someone would just, like, I was thinking about, like, I had my curtain open, and I was like, anybody who's walking by and sees, like, you know, through the window, they're like, Paul's watching 80s porn.
Dude, I thought, no, don't even get me started. Because, okay, yesterday I had to watch the movie, right? But I was, like, doing stuff, and I was like, okay, mom, dad, good night. I'm gonna go to sleep. So I go in my room, and I'm like, oh, wait, I can't go to sleep. I have to watch the movie. It's also only 9 o'clock, so let me watch it. And I put on the movie, and I'm like, I told my parents I'm going to be asleep. If they come in here and they see this, and it was, like, during one of the locker room scenes, I'm like, they're going to think I'm watching 80s, like, low-budget porn. Yeah.
You're going to be like, my boss told me to watch it.
Call Paul Klein.
I was so nervous the whole movie. I'm like, somebody's going to come in here and they're going to think I'm watching 80s porn. It was so bad.
There was something else I was going to mention.
Actually. They're also like the mafia in this town, apparently. And it makes sense because they're right outside of New York, apparently. And then
they're in New Jersey.
Yeah. And then there's just the one guy that's with the mayor who just like talks like a mobster.
When they first introduced him, there was that scene where the mayor, because they have all the girls dancing around them. And like the mayor, just the way he delivered the line, he's like, hey, check on him. I think he's dead.
Oh, it's so good.
But I think what I was saying before that I wanted to finish that thought was that the way that they made the town cheer on Toxie and, you know, having the cop being like, no, but he saved my life. They knew when to do certain things in the movie, right? Like they knew when to be like, okay, you have to make the citizens of Tromaville worthy of him fighting for them. And so I like just those little things that a lot of movies do forget, or where things aren't consistent, you know, where the cop whose life he would save, a lot of movies, they would just, you know, he suddenly would just go along with it. And you're like, why did you go along with it? This guy saved your life. And I like that he constantly kept going like, no, this is wrong. So there was a certain consistency with that. And go ahead.
That scene was so funny too, because it was the police officer, the teenager that was rooting for him, and then a group of like small children.
School children.
Remember when the girls even had ice cream and then they kind of look at her at the end of the scene and she goes, like, what do you think? And what was I going to say? There was one more thing. Yes. Interesting complication near the end where he, you know, he's going through the movie killing all these evil people. They say he's drawn to evil.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And then a little person, a lady, who seems like the sweetest old woman, who doesn't even understand the jizz stain on her son's pants. Yeah. She's like, what is that?
He went out with his best girl last night.
What are these stains? And he's like, yeah, we're going to have to clean that a little extra. Toxie just bursts in and starts chasing her. And again, you know what made me laugh was he chases her into where the clean laundry is hung.
Yeah.
And the camera loses track of him. And so she's kind of sneaking through it. And then she comes out to the other side. He's just waiting for her.
She goes, what the heck?
And then he throws her in the laundry machine. And then they're like, oh my gosh, he killed an innocent woman. I'm like, why did they kill an innocent woman?
It was funny. I was just as confused. Yeah. And what happened was I had to go make dinner. And so I had to turn the movie off. And like for the rest of the night before I finished watching, I was like, how are they going to undo? Like, okay, I was thinking about it. There's a couple options here. Either they're not going to stay consistent with what the movie was and suddenly make him a villain, right? And considering how dark the movie is as far as what it does to people, I was like, they're probably going to do that. I'm going to be disappointed. Or there is a possibility that this sweet little old lady is actually evil.
Yeah.
I was very happy to find out when I finished it. Yes, she was evil.
She ran the biggest white slavery in the country.
An extensive police record.
And it was like so off the cuff. It was like, no, mayor. She actually ran the greatest white slavery ring in the country. And then they don't address it again. Oh, so good.
Mayor's just like, dude, darn it.
Yeah, he was so mad about it. He was like, damn it. So yes, the movie knew what it was doing, and I think it did it pretty darn well.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, when I was watching it, I almost texted both of you and was like, let's not do this. Like about halfway through, I was like, I don't know how we're going to handle this. Like, this is so schlocky, you know, and so silly that I'm like, I don't know if there's anything for us to talk about. And I was like, you guys are going to hate me for having picked this movie. And then I was like, no, we're going to do this. And then as I kept watching it, I was like, no, this is actually pretty good. I think we have things that we can talk about here.
Yeah.
So, I think it was a success. I think I will end up watching at least part two and maybe part three. We'll see. But I think we covered... Did we cover everything? Anybody else have anything else you want to add about Toxic Avenger?
The one thing at the end where it's just him and Susan.
Uh-huh.
And they're just like yelling each other's names and they're like 2 feet from each other. I was cracking up at the end of the movie.
Wait, what?
It was like the very end of the movie and they're like, it's him and his girlfriend running towards each
other. Oh, yes.
And she's like, Melvin, Susie, Melvin, Susie. Oh, they're like 2 feet away from each other. It went on for like...
Did it go on for a while?
It went on for too long for me. Like, they were not that far away from each other.
Yeah.
They said it like 20 times. I was cracking up.
That does remind me that again, and I'm going to kind of, for a cheap movie... There's some really cool visuals in this, like especially when he's just kind of walking around and it's like sunset, you know, and he's in full costume and he's just kind of walking on the train tracks. Like, again, when he's stalking the other girl, the not Julie.
Yeah.
And there's that shot where, you know, she's in the sauna and he walks through the pool area and the pool has all the smoke on it.
Uh-huh.
And it's like orange lit. you know, like, that's a cool image and there's that the I wasn't
big,
expecting.
There's the big sign on the wall that says, like, anybody with, like, yeah. like
open source. Oh,
and he has all of those. Yeah.
Like, do not go in the pool. Another great thing about movies, it's shot on location, which, again, they're not aiming for this, but it kind of gives you a time capsule feel to the movie where you're also like, this takes you back to 1984 New Jersey.
Yeah.
100%. And how people dressed and everything. And I don't know. I thought that was entertaining. And last thing I did want to actually say also, again, if we're talking about how the movie is schlocky, but they still were paying attention and doing good things in it. One of the great things was how they kept Toxie's face off camera for much of the runtime.
Yeah.
And then the way they revealed it was first setting up the joke where the girl's boyfriend, Slug, when he shows up pretending to be the Elephant Man for no reason, and then he takes off the thing and you see it's him because you think it's Toxie, but it's actually him.
Yeah.
Then they repeat the scene later, but it's actually Toxie, who for no reason has the same thing over his head.
Yeah.
Like, okay, silly. But at the same time, the way they set it up, and that's the when she pulls it off thinking it's going to be Slug, and now you actually see Toxie's face for the first time with his eye melting down and everything.
Yeah.
It was a great reveal, and I think it was nicely set up how they kept his face out of everything up until then.
Yeah. That was so perfect, because whoever they got to play, like, whoever actor they got, like, he just had, like, a normal fit body,
yeah,
but his face was the only thing actually messed up.
Like, yeah,
well, like his skin was messed up, but his actual body wasn't deformed.
No,
right. Like, he just had, like, a normal, like, fit dude's body in most of the scenes. Like, you just see him and you're just like, eh, and then you see his face, you're like, ah.
Yeah. Yeah. And he does pee toxic waste, though, because remember what you see him?
Oh, my gosh. I saw, I'm sorry.
With his hand on the wall.
I saw a Letterboxd comment that, like,
oh, that was the best. That was a pure, true snort into the microphone.
I saw a Letterboxd comment along those lines, and I'm not going to repeat it, and I won't show it to you guys, but I'm just going to send it to Paul, or, like, okay. If I do, I'm just going to give you the phone, and, like, before I leave, because I don't want to be here for it, like, after, because it's just, like, it's along the lines of the pee. I'll show it to both of you guys, okay. But it's just so gross, but it was, like, so funny.
I'm afraid.
Yeah.
I'm afraid.
Me too.
I'm gonna put my phone on the table before I leave and just show it to you guys.
Slide it across.
If you see it, you see it. That's on you.
Hey y'all, Future Paul here. I'm editing the episode, and you might be wondering what the joke was that Alex shared with us. It was a Toxic Avenger jizz joke. Imagine of that what you will. And now back to the program.
I want to focus on my favorite shot in the movie just before we wrap up. When he goes to visit his mother and she opens the door, she gets scared. It cuts to a shot where he's just, like, sitting by the water and he's just, like, sad and has his head down. It's this beautiful, like, scenic shot of the skyline and then the water in front of him, but he just looks so sad.
Yeah.
And it's just this huge hulking monster. But I want to, like, save that and just, like, have it, like, as a reaction. Whenever somebody texts me something and I'm sad, I'm going to reply with
that. I think that would be great.
Yeah.
Or just put it as a screen, you know, like a background.
Yep.
And again, I did love that his mom showed up at the end and she was like, that's my Melvin.
Yeah.
I know this is not what it is, but I mean, I was thinking about how infamously you were trying to tell us that Texas Chainsaw Massacre was an anti-vegan propaganda.
Uh-huh.
I was like, do you think Toxic Avenger is a pro-toxic waste dumping propaganda? Because, again, Melvin sucks.
Yeah.
And he gets turned into the ultimate man with a melting face. But
I think Melvin's great, by the way.
No! Melvin's horrible. When they're having sex and he just stands there, like, gawking at them, like, in the creepiest way possible.
Listen, Melvin,
I'm like, I cannot like this person.
His face pressed up against the glass.
Listen, guys, Melvin clearly has issues, and he's still out there working, putting in work.
Poorly.
Cleaning. He's trying, okay?
Poorly.
Putting mops on people's
faces. Oh, my gosh, dude. When he dipped the mop in the hot tub, that was so gross.
To be honest, that's a valid reason to crash out over that.
Yes.
If I was in a hot tub and some guy, like, dipped his mop, I would be upset, too.
Yeah.
I'd be like, hey, buddy, don't do that.
Agreed.
Dude, after when Slug gets mad and then the girlfriend starts saying stuff to him and then he talks to her, she's like, just out of nowhere, she just yells, why are you talking to me? Next time some guy comes in and does something creepy here, like, you guys, that's how we should react.
Yeah. Why are you talking to me? I will say also
you're
stressing me out.
You stressed out Bozo.
Look what you did, you idiot. You're stressing him.
He's ruining my karma.
I do want to also point out that Julie's death scene, which we don't really see, but she keeps screaming for so long that it gets so absurd towards the end where you can just tell, like, they're just being ridiculous with it. I think I'm going to try and get a sound bite of that and play this over this.
Hey, future Paul again. Nah, not going to do that.
It made me laugh. I just wish there would have been a payoff to that.
It just kept zooming in on her face. Yeah. And her eyes kept, like, bulging in, like, every shot. And she had to, like, take a break for a second. Yeah.
You know what? I think we made a good choice. I think this was a lot of fun.
I would watch it again.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, when it comes to my choices in general, they are going to be these schlocky, you know.
I'm not upset about that.
We'll call this sort of mini arc, we'll call, like, my choices Paul's cult corner, you know, something like that. So it'll be like the cult movie corner.
Okay.
So I'm glad you guys enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I am curious what we're going to do next time. And speaking of, we have the bowl here. I think we should let Stephanie pick the title. I'm going to go ahead and put it on microphone so we can all hear it.
Yep. Oh, that's disgusting. You dropped one. You dropped one. Don't look
at it. Is
that
the winner?
No, you got to keep mixing. Also, in the meantime, I don't condone drinking or doing drugs, but this is the perfect movie. If you're hanging out with friends and you're under the influence of some kind of substance, this is the perfect movie to watch.
All right, Stephanie.
All right.
Drum roll, please.
Okay, got one.
Okay.
It is Companion. I did not do that on purpose. Right.
Okay, that's good.
Cool.
And it's coming out on Max now.
That doesn't help me any. Good. But
is it on Prime yet?
It is. I would have to pay $5.99 for it. Will I do it? Or will I just get Max for a month?
I recommend Max. See. I like Max.
I know, and I could finally catch up on the boy and the heron.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which I still haven't seen.
All right, Companion next.
It's ceremonial ripping of the one.
Oh, nice. Oh, that sounded good. Yeah. That was good. That almost sounded like a sound effect.
Yeah.
I want to assure you that actually happened in the studio.
Yep.
Okay, I want to thank Stephanie Italian Explosion Caplano for hosting with us today. I want to thank Alex for hosting with us today. This was a lot of fun. I think we do highly recommend, but we should also say together on three whether you should watch this or whether you should watch this.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Oh, I already know how I'm going to do it.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. I'm just going to do it normal.
Okay.
me. Okay. counting down from three to one on one.
Okay.
Three, two, one.
Watch this.
Excellent. That was sexy Melvin voice.
That was good, yeah.
Yeah, that was good. I'm going to talk like this from now on. I actually don't like this. How y'all doing?
I think I should talk like that, too.
What's that?
I should talk like that,
You too. Should. Try it now.
Watch this.
Ew.
Was that different?
No, that was
that. That wasn't very
different. I can't go that deep, guys.
You can't go that deep.
I can't go deep. No, I can't.
And on that note, I will leave you with more Ratata. You know what? I think this time I'm going to play the famous song of theirs so you guys can see if you actually know it.
Hit it.
It's a good one to end on.
Yeah.
And with that, I bid you adieu.
Bye.